Hey, it's Aiden Mortensen here with another Castle Country Focus interview, and today over the phone we're joined by a very special guest. We've got David Holt, the president of the Consumer Energy Alliance. David, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Thanks again for taking the time to come talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure, Aiden. How are you?
I am doing pretty fantastic. I mean, right now, looking at the state of energy, of course, is what we're here to talk about. At the start of President Trump's term, he declared an energy emergency. And that's something that, you know, we saw massive rises in energy prices over the course of the last few years. So how has this energy emergency declaration kind of impacted that pricing and consumers in general when it comes to energy?
You know, I think we're seeing prices come down. It's kind of a one for one equation, right? If you lower energy prices, then you lower the price for everything, which is the inflation we've been feeling. Because you know, energy goes into everything. You can't farm, you can't package, you can't buy anything at the grocery store. You lumber, clothing, shampoo, shoes, really, literally everything goes into it. So when you remove red tape, you relax regulation, and we saw a lot of kind of over-regulation in the previous 4 years that just artificially drove up the price of energy across the board. When you start removing that, you start letting the market react and respond, then you see very quick results. So we've already seen prices come down. I would expect as we move forward, we'll see prices come down a little bit more, if not stay maybe about where they are. Gasoline, diesel prices aren't too bad right now. We need electricity prices to come down a little bit more, but we're going to have a lot of electricity demand this year and for the next 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years as this, you know, new artificial intelligence revolution really takes off.
And let's talk about that energy demand for a second. In 2024, that grew by 2.2%, which is faster than the average rate that has happened over the past decade. And I mean, it's grown to 4.3%. I mean, looking at the need for, like you said, artificial intelligence and data centers, with this demand for data centers, what kind of impact are we going to be seeing on the energy field?
Tremendous. I mean, in a word, absolutely tremendous. It's going to be unlike anything we've really ever seen before because, you know, AI, the data centers are really, really energy intensive. You know, you drive down the highway and you see these big box stores. Well, inside those big box stores are thousands of servers that are, you know, 6, 8, 10 feet tall. All of them produce a lot of heat. So, one, the servers themselves use a lot of electricity, and then keeping the servers cool in those big box stores use a lot of electricity. So we need to ramp up our electricity power opportunities, ability to meet that demand while we meet the demand of all of us, you know, on a daily basis. And we've seen electricity prices in the last couple of years go up quite a bit. We need some more investment in removing some regulations that allows more investment in the grid. We need to add more natural gas to our power generation system. You know, you need that dispatchable, always available power, which is, you know, wind and solar are intermittent. They work when the wind is blowing and the sun is shining. Natural gas, coal, nuclear for electricity, they're always available. So we're going to have to start having more conversations about nuclear. We're going to have to add more natural gas utility scale power to the mix so we balance this out and we can ramp up on hot days and cold nights. And we meet the energy needs of the AI revolution because the president's been very clear about this. The United States needs to win this revolution. China is our biggest competitor here, and we want the AI technology and the AI infrastructure to be here in the good old USA.
You know, this is definitely an arms race we're seeing between ourselves and China in terms of the AI revolution, like you said, because this is a new blossoming technology and something that could really shape the next few decades of global power. So the U.S. definitely wants to keep that ball in their court. Now, looking at these data centers, how much energy on average do they consume? Is this something that we're going to see more of an impact on our grid systems, or is this something that can be more plug and play?
It's a little bit of both. So some of the AI data centers, if they're looking to cluster them and you have some of these big tech companies, you know, AWS or Google or something, they're actually looking at opportunities for their own little mini power plant that they would put that would be kind of, you know, behind the meter, off the grid, loosely connected to the grid, different ways they're looking at it. So they would be able to have their own power system that in peak demand days, the grid could borrow from that power system to make sure that the rest of us all have the power we need. So that's being looked at very, very hard around the country. States all over the country are looking at, okay, how can we very quickly ramp up more natural gas utility-scale power? What are we doing about nuclear? How is that going to be used to meet the needs? So there's a lot of fast conversation occurring to make sure that the power is there for AI, and the power that's being used for AI is not robbing from the rest of us that need it in our homes and businesses.
Now, a second ago, you touched on the importance of oil, gas, coal, and potentially nuclear moving into the future as that baseload supplier of energy. Now, you mentioned something that I couldn't agree with more, is that wind and solar, they're good alternative sources. They're good supplementary energy bases. But at the same time, you need the sun to be shining. You need the wind to be blowing to have that production work. Now, do you see an oversaturation in those markets of people trying to over-rely on wind and solar in terms of trying to produce this base load of energy?
You know, in a sense, yeah. So what we've seen in a lot of parts of the country is there's been a lot of states around the, you know, like California, New York, others that have been giving a lot of incentives to wind and solar. So the market lost equilibrium, if you will. So, you know, wind and solar, like you said, they're good. Good diversity, good power gen in, you know, the days that they work, but they're called intermittent power because they're not always available. So those states that kind of, you know, messed up their market and de-incentivized, if you will, natural gas utility, so the utility was not a bit larger percentage, or in some cases really good, stable, available utilities that were powered by natural gas, started looking at closing down early. We can't lose that power. We have to have this balance of our power mix that allows natural gas, for the most part, nuclear, coal in the coal states, other places, to be available, to be ready, because it can peak. Natural gas utilities can scale up, can produce more electricity. Wind and solar really can't do that. So we have lost a little bit of that balance. And states are kind of grappling with that and trying to get that fixed right now. And Washington's really going to have to lean in some cases.
Now, the last topic I really want to hit on with you is that with that price surge we saw over the last year of 30% on energy, what path do you see moving forward to help the market recover from that surge and get back to normal levels?
Yeah, the best thing we can do is have the federal government kind of get out of the way. The previous 4 years, we saw a lot of intervention, mandates, requirements, restrictions, redundant regulation. Get out of the way, let the market respond, build more infrastructure, build more transmission, make sure we have these utility scale utilities that are providing power, and they're able to either expand or add more. Look at nuclear. The government, state, local, federal need to be a partner and a guide, and then if they are providing oversight, make sure it's clean, make sure it's being done the right way, and then giving the proper incentives or direction, rather, to let the market respond and respond as quickly as they can. In a lot of states, Utah, Texas, elsewhere, you're seeing the states start to do that, and you're also obviously seeing the Washington start to get out of the way a little bit more, which is a good sign.
Now, David, unfortunately, we are running out of time. But is there anything you'd like to leave the listeners with?
You know, it's going to be a really interesting several years on energy. You know, our electricity system is going to fundamentally change. So, you know, voters have a say in all this. Make sure that who you're voting for, it doesn't matter if they're a Democrat, independent, or Republican, make sure they understand energy. Energy policy is the lifeblood of this country. And all our political leaders need to understand that over-regulation is a bad thing for energy, and we need to make sure that we have the energy we need to meet our daily needs.
Well, David, thank you again so much for taking the time out of your day to come talk to us. We really appreciate it. Again, that was David Holt, the president of the Consumer Energy Alliance, and we were talking about the need for energy, especially with the new demand for data centers in our country. And for more Castle Country Focus interviews like this one, you can stay tuned to KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, or you can listen on the Castle Country Radio app. And for the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Aiden Mortensen.